Amen. Would you please turn to Daniel chapter 9? Daniel chapter 9, as we look at the first part of two parts to the prophecy of the 70 weeks, as Daniel presented it in Daniel chapter 9. We're going to look at the first 69 weeks tonight, the 70th week, 2 weeks from tonight. Remember, next week is our missions conference. We're going to be dealing with a lot of detail tonight and some math, some calculations. All of this information will be printed in the next issue of Rejoicing from the Hills. So if it seems a little overwhelming or you don't get all the numbers or all of that, it will be in print in a couple of weeks, and so you'll be able to review it at that time. Daniel had learned from Jeremiah's writings about the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2, he says in the first year of his reign, that is in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. God had commanded back, all the way back in Leviticus, that once every 7 years, the nation of Israel would leave the land rest. Leviticus chapter 25, if you want to turn back there, I'm going to go through this quickly. It's in Leviticus chapter 25. Verse 2, he says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord." Verse 4 of Leviticus 25, "But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land." God even warned the Israelites about not observing the year of rest for the land. In Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 27, he said, "And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me," dropping down to Leviticus 26 verse 32, "and I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it, and I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemies' land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when ye dwelt upon it." And so, God keeps his word in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 17 to 21, when Nebuchadnezzar comes and takes the final of his three phases of dominating the nation of Israel, destroys the temple, destroys the city. It says in 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 17, "Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees." And in that chapter, verse 20, "And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon to fulfill the word of the Lord," he says in 2 Chronicles 36, 21, "to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 80, that's 60, and 10 years." They had not kept the Sabbath rest for the land 70 times over 490 years. And so 1 year for every year they skipped the Sabbath rest for the land, they went into captivity. That's why their captivity was 70 years long. In Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 3 and going all the way down to verse 19 in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel is confessing the sins of the nation. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3, he says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments." And it wasn't just the failure to keep the Sabbath rest for the land. There were many of the commandments of God that Israel did not keep. But it was the failure to observe the rest for the land that was the reason God took Israelites out of the land for 70 years so that the land could rest 1 year for each year they had failed to observe the Sabbath rest for the land. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 16, he says, "O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain." And in verse 19 of Daniel chapter 9, he says, "O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken and do, defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name." Israel had not observed the Sabbath rest for the land 70 times over a period of 490 years. They had missed 70 sabbatical years. And this was over a period of 490 years. And so as this 70-year captivity came to a close, and Daniel seeks the Lord and confesses the sins of the nation, God decided to grant to Israel another 490 years. It was not coincidental that he chose 490 years. He specifically chose 490 years for this next period of time because it duplicates or is the same amount of time that Israel had failed God. And so in Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 to 23, we're told that Gabriel was sent by God, the angel Gabriel was sent by God and talked to Daniel and gave Daniel the information that we're about to study in verses 24 through 27. Now, we're not going to deal with verse 24 in detail. That will be in the next lesson as to the purpose for the 70 weeks and its conclusion in the 70th week. We're going to look at the first couple of words in verse 24, however, where it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. The word week is significant, and we must understand what it's talking about. This particular word, week, in the Hebrew, refers to a period of seven something. It is not the same Hebrew word for the number seven. It is a specific Hebrew word that refers to a period of time that lasts for seven something. But in order to know what seven something it's talking about, it needs to be qualified within the context. For example, in Ezekiel chapter 45 and verse 21, Ezekiel chapter 45 and verse 21, it is talking about the various feasts in the nation of Israel, and it's talking about the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread that follows immediately after the Passover. And in Ezekiel 45:21, it says, "In the first month, in the 14th day of the month, ye shall have the Passover, a feast of 7 days. Now, if you would look up the word seven there in Strong's Concordance, you would find the exact same number as the word week in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. But notice that the word days accompanies this word. And so we're told that this particular period of seven is 7 days. Then go to Genesis chapter 29, and we find that even when the word week stands alone in Scripture and has a following qualification, the word week alone can refer, when it is clarified, to refer to a period of 7 years. Genesis chapter 29 talks about the time when Jacob made an arrangement with Laban to work for 7 years for the privilege of marrying his daughter Rachel. He worked for those 7 years and then looked forward to his wedding day. Unfortunately, the custom in Laban's land was that you don't let the younger daughter marry before the older daughter. And so on the wedding day, Jacob ended up with the older daughter, Leah. He was greatly disappointed. You can imagine why. And so he entered into another arrangement with Laban to work 7 more years for the privilege of marrying the other daughter, Rachel. We're not talking about the morality of having two wives. We're just talking about the arrangements and the terminology that's used. So look in Genesis chapter 29 and verse 25. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?" And Laban said, "It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." Fulfill her week, referring to Rachel. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. Here's the word week that obviously refers to a period of 7 years. One more thing. Over in Daniel chapter 9, in the context of the 70 weeks prophecy, we are told in verse 26 that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Then he tells us that 69 of these weeks transpire between the starting point of the prophecy and the starting point of the prophecy's fulfillment and the moment when the Messiah is cut off. Between the starting point of the fulfillment of this prophecy and the cutting off of the Messiah, there's a total of 69 weeks. It is obvious when we find out what the starting point of the fulfillment of this prophecy is in the middle of the 400s BC, that this period of time must cover hundreds of years. Therefore, within the context of Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, it is obvious that the word week is a period of 7 years. You say, why are we dealing with all of this detail and the meticulousness of it? Because there are a lot of people that do not accept this interpretation and convolute this passage of Scripture into things that it really does not say. It's important for us to be very specific so that if we're going to defend our belief in what God has prophesied upon the nation of Israel, we can do it very specifically and in detail. So, the word week refers to a period of 7 years in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. 70 times 7 is 490 years. God decreed a period of 490 years upon the people of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. Now, I'll make even more emphasis on that 2 weeks from tonight when we deal with the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. But it is very important for us to understand that this prophecy, Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, very specifically tells us 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, that's the nation of Israel, and upon the holy city, which is Jerusalem. This is not a prophecy that has anything to do with the church. It is entirely to do with the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. And so he says, within this prophecy, in verse 25, that we have a very specific starting point. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. That's the beginning point of the fulfillment of this prophecy. From the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Now, this picture is the picture that I will use to represent this starting point. This is supposed to be depicting Artaxerxes, who is the king named in relationship to the commandment to go forth and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. He is sitting at the table. He's writing a letter for Nehemiah, permitting Nehemiah to take men and supplies back to Jerusalem from Babylon so that he can rebuild the city. This is not the same as the commandment given by Cyrus years before, which allowed Ezra to take a group of people back to rebuild the temple. That's something entirely different. This is after Ezra went back and started rebuilding the temple. Nehemiah now is going to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Go to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Chapter 1, verse 11, Nehemiah tells us that he is the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah was sad about the condition of the city of Jerusalem. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, some people come from Jerusalem. He asks about the condition of the city, and he is informed that the city is falling down. In chapter 2 and verse 2, the king notices that he is sad, and so Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 2, the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? There is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Verse 5, Nehemiah then explains what is bothering him, that the city of Jerusalem is in shambles. And so in verses 7 through 8, Nehemiah requests letters written by Artaxerxes that would allow him to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls and the buildings of the city. Nehemiah sits down, writes that letter, and that is the command to go forth and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. We are told in chapter 2, Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1, that this is in the first, in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes. That gives us a very specific date. Now, historical records indicate, and the Encyclopedia Britannica is one of the primary sources that people use to identify the years in which Artaxerxes reigned. He reigned from 465 to 425 BC. And when it says in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1 that this is his 20th year, people automatically go to the year 445 B.C. But this does not say after 20 years. It says in his 20th year. Now, his 20th year potentially spanned part of 446 as well as 445 B.C. So what part of Artaxerxes' 20th year was this? I have my reasons for being suspicious about some of the dating, the specific dating in Artaxerxes' reign. And I do not accept 445 as the 20th year. I see it as 446, maybe even 447. But we know that it is in the month Nisan, which is a Hebrew month. It does not say what day of the month, and therefore, in Scripture, whenever the day of the month is not specified, but only the month is identified, it always implies the first day of the month. So what we're talking about is the first day of the month of Nisan in 446 B.C., How does that translate to our calendar? If we had our calendar in place at that time, it would be equivalent to March the 28th. In 446 BC, I am convinced that the Passover occurred on March Nisan 14. Get my month mixed up here. The Hebrew month. It's always in the Passover was always on the 14th day of the first month. And that would then be equivalent to March 28th. If this, however, Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1 is talking about the first day of the month, we're talking about the date of March 14, 446 B.C. Now, again, a lot of the references that you might look up and read about are going to use the word 445. And they will end up in a different year A.D. than I do. And there's a reason I disagree with that. Without going into all the detail with that, you'll just have to take my word for it at this point. But hopefully the calculations will demonstrate something for you. Therefore, the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem was given on March 14, 446 B.C. Ancient people typically observed a 360-day calendar. This is significant. The Mayans observed a 360-day calendar. The Aztecs did so. Even the Egyptians at times observed a 360-day calendar. And there's an interesting reference in the 1859 Dictionary of Greek and Roman Antiquities where it describes how the Romans thought so little of the five extra days in the year on a 365-day calendar that they based wages on 360 days a year, and they didn't pay for the other five. The earliest known existing calendar is referred to in the book of Genesis. Would you please go to Genesis chapter 7? Genesis chapter 7. Verse 11, God says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain, we know in verse 12, fell for 40 days and 40 nights, but Noah stayed in the ark for a lot longer than that. So go to chapter 8 and verse 4. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month. What was the date in chapter 7, verse 11? Which month? Second month, which day? 17th day. Second month, 17th day. Now in chapter 8, we have the seventh month, 17th day. That's 5 months, correct? 5 months later, same day of the month. Notice in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 3, it says, and the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated, and the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. The 17th day of the seventh month was exactly 150 days from the time that the rain started. It was 5 months, 150 days. How many days in a month? Exactly 30, which translates into a year of 360 days. In the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5, we have 42 months, we have 1,203 score days, 1,260 days in 42 months, which is half of the tribulation period. 1,260 days divided by 42 comes out to how many days in a month? 30, exactly, which translates into a 360-day year. A biblical year, lots of times we say a prophetic year is 360 days, but I'll go even further and say a biblical year is 360 days. Now, from the commandment to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, March 14, 446 B.C., to the cutting off of Messiah is 69 weeks. 69 times 7 is 483 years. All right? It took 7 weeks or 49 years to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. How do we know that? Daniel chapter 9 tells us within the 70 weeks prophecy. Daniel chapter 9. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. It emphasizes the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem, describes what you can study about in the book of Nehemiah and the trouble they had in rebuilding the city. It took 49 years to rebuild the city. That's why the 69 weeks is broken up into two parts, 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So from March 14, 446 BC, 49 years later, the city of Jerusalem was finished. And then the next 62 weeks from the completion of the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem to the Messiah is an additional 62 weeks or 434 years for a total of 483 years. Cutting off the Messiah obviously refers to the crucifixion of Christ. And it specifies in the text in verse 26 that when the Messiah is cut off, he's not cut off for himself. That's a description of what Jesus did for us. The starting date of the prophecy of the 70 weeks is March 14, 446 B.C. Based on a 365-day year, if we go forward 483 years after March 14, 446 B.C., it would take us to 37 A.D., and that's too late for the crucifixion of Christ. So we must recalculate the 483 years based on a 360-day year rather than a 365-day year. So here's what we have to do. We have 483 years times 365 days per year is 176,295 days. That's too many days because that takes us to 37 A.D. But if we multiply 483 years and 360 days per year, we come out to 173,880 days. Now, once again, all of this is going to be printed in Rejoicing from the Hills. So you can try to write all these numbers down, but they'll be printed in Rejoicing from the Hills in a couple of weeks. But this is a key number, 173,880 days. 483 years on a 360-day calendar translates into 173,880 days or 476 years plus 140 days on a 365-day calendar. By following the 360-day year and translating it into our calendar, the prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks is 490 years on a biblical calendar, but to find the fulfillment date of the end of the 69 weeks and the cutting off of the Messiah, we have to translate it into our present calendar. And that 483 years in Daniel's prophecy in our calendar is 476 years, 140 days. The 483 years of the first 69 weeks of the 70 weeks prophecy means there are 173,880 days from the command to rebuild Jerusalem unto the cutting off of the Messiah. From March 14, 446 B.C., 173,880 days takes us to April 6, 30 A.D. Now hang on to that date. It's very significant. This is how it's calculated. 476 years times 360 days per year is 173,740 days. 173,740 days in 476 years plus 119 leap year days is 173,859 days. 173,880 days minus 173,859 days leaves 21 days remaining. From March 14, 445 BC to March 14, 30 AD is 173,859 days. 21 days after March 14, 30 AD is April 6, 30 AD. And this is a true fact. The Passover occurred on April 6, 30 AD. And Jesus Christ was crucified at the time of the Passover. Exactly from March 14, 446 BC to April 6, 30 AD is 483 biblical years. The first 69 weeks of Daniel's prophecy is history to us. Oh, that's supposed to say the 70th week. I forgot to change the words. The 70th week is future to us. Disregard the words at the top. The 70th week is future to us. And so the next time we're going to look at the significance of the 70th week of the 70 weeks prophecy. But what I want you to get from this tonight is how exact God was in the 70 weeks prophecy. His calculation on a biblical calendar of 360 days a year takes us exactly to the day Christ was crucified. Now, to put it simply, one of the reasons I believe it's from 446 to 30 AD is because those are the years that it fits perfectly. A lot of people take it from 445 BC to 32 AD, and the Passover in 32 AD didn't take place until late in April. And in 31 AD, it was in March. And none of the other dates work. It fits perfectly. See all the calculations. It's just perfect. God is so exact. We must marvel at the Word of God. Heard some video clip of a Christian man was speaking at a secular university, and he was being challenged by some of the students, and one of the students got up and his question made the emphatic statement that the Bible has been disproven completely. And that was the premise for his asking his question or making his statement. It was a debate about creation and evolution. And since the Bible has been thoroughly disproven and all of that, evolution must be true and blah, 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 blah. You know, there has never once been an archaeological find that has contradicted anything in Scripture. There's never been a scientific fact that has contradicted anything in Scripture. There have been so many prophecies fulfilled that we should just be absolutely amazed, not at the lack of credibility of this book, but of the credibility of it. When God says 483 years from the command to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, that command would not take place in Daniel's lifetime. Daniel's receiving this prophecy in somewhere around 530-something B.C. The command to rebuild Jerusalem was not for 75 or more years, 80 years later. And yet God tells Daniel, there's going to be a command to go and restore and rebuild Jerusalem. And that's going to be the starting point for a period of 490 years. And 483 years after that command is given, the Messiah will be cut off. And it happens that that's exactly what happened to the day. Don't ever doubt him. He knows exactly what he's talking about. Don't ever doubt him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of your word and the impression it makes upon us when we come upon something like this, so detailed yet so specific, something you said long before it ever happened, and it came to pass exactly as you said it would. We marvel at the accuracy of your word. We marvel at the truthfulness of your word. And we pray, Lord, that every day we will allow its impact upon our lives to mold and shape us into a person that will bring glory to you every single day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.